Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
As promised, we have Roger Stone himself, friend of Donald Trump and famous author, now subject of a Netflix series. I think it's called Get Me. Hello, Mr. Stone. How are you?
Mitch, great to be back with you.
Well, I must say, I saw your Today Show appearance, and they didn't have a glove on you. They tried, and they were punching you from rights and lefts and uppercuts and jabs. And I think you staved them off pretty well.
Well, thank you. I mean, look, facts matter. Words matter. There's been a lot of loose talk about Russian collusion in the Trump campaign, but as I said yesterday, there's still not an iota of evidence that would hold up in a U.S. court of law. We have a lot of, supposition, a lot of conjecture, a lot of innuendo, a lot of distortion, but no facts.
Well, and the press, obviously they've been getting into the process, and the last couple of days, here's my question to you, because you've been around campaigns and candidates for a long time, and presidents. Kellyanne and Vice President Pence and Sean Spicer, all the team out there saying this chronology of events, that it was Rod Rosenstein's letter and a cover letter from Jeff Sessions, and then therefore the president took their advice. And that we heard that for 2 days. 2 days. So my question is, who is sending that message out? Because then the president, as you well know, seizes NBC Lester Holt to say, no, I'm going to tell you what's going on here. So two things have to happen. Either the president didn't like the message, or Rod Rosenstein said, change it or I'm going to quit. One of those two things has to be the case. What do you think?
Well, maybe they're the ones who should say, get me, Roger Stone. There does seem to be a certain lack of coordination there. And frankly, I ascribe this to the fact that unfortunately, the president has chosen a team largely of people he doesn't really know, who have not been with him for very long, who don't understand him and his, shall we say, unique management style, which, by the way, built him a multi-billion-dollar real estate empire. This is a very smart guy, type of his class at Wharton. Politics is a little different, as you know. The word politics comes from the Latin, poly meaning many, tix meaning bloodsuckers. And this is a contact sport in America.
Yeah.
At the same time, a week ago, even days ago, Democrats were seething over Jim Comey. Hillary said almost a week ago that he had cost her the election through his improper pronouncements regarding her email. But now, overnight, they flipped to being his biggest defenders. It's a little hypocritical. And of course, the jackals in the media, they're just loving it. They're bloodthirsty, and they taste some Trumpian blood in the water.
Well, apparently, the Post, one of your favorite newspapers, I'm sure, from Watergate days, but they're saying that Rosenstein said that you got to change the narrative or I'm quitting. I mean, that's a Post story, and you can see what you want. By the way, MSNBC was reporting that Comey was going to go in and ask for more money for the investigation. But then McCabe said, that's not true. So, see, we're seeing all these stories. We don't know what's true and what isn't true.
No, there is, in fact, a lot of fake news out there. Here's my conjecture, and I want to label it as conjecture. I think the president was growing increasingly unhappy with Comey. I think he was unhappy with the fact that Comey seemed interested in some crimes and not others, remembering that Comey had been the federal prosecutor in the Sandy Berger affair. This is where Berger, Bill Clinton's national security advisor, slips into the National Archives, talks the docent into leaving the room, stuffs classified documents down the front of his pants that showed that Clinton could have killed bin Laden but didn't, smuggles him out of the building, gets caught, never charged, no one's ever charged. He also handled the Mark Rich affair. Mark Rich was a fugitive financier, billionaire, on the lam, out of the country.
No.
He gives Bill Clinton's foundation a couple million dollars. Voila, he has a pardon. Jim Comey could find no crime. So there's a long history of covering up for the Clintons here. And, of course, in the email scandal, although he had to damn her based on the facts, he reached an unsupportable conclusion that she shouldn't be prosecuted. Of course she should have. Well,
he had created intent there. He said there was no intent, but, of course, negligence doesn't require intent, as most lawyers know.
Well, as Judge Napolitano, who's a legal scholar, pointed out, intent was not necessary. Criminal negligence would have been sufficient.
Right. So in terms of what we have then, we have the media, the 24-hour cable media, obsessed over the process. That's what it is. I mean, consultants would tell us in newsrooms. So it's a process, the process of the narrative and what Kellyanne says and what Sean and Pence say versus what the president says. So that's the story for them. And you're going to the underlying story, which is the lack of evidence of a Russian collusion case. And other things, and the past of Comey's history. Those things we're not seeing in the press, by the way. You know, we might see them in one of your books, but we're not seeing them on 24-hour cable. No.
I think you're absolutely right. What you have here is two completely different narratives. The narrative that Trump fired Comey to head off a Russian collusion investigation that would embarrass him, which I believe to be entirely false. And on the other hand, the fact that Trump was getting increasingly unhappy with Comey's empire building and his unaccountability to the executive, to the Congress, to anybody, deciding what crimes he would comment on, or I should say what investigations he would comment on and which ones he wouldn't, which crimes he would pursue and which crimes he wouldn't. In all honesty, he was acting more like Hillary Clinton's FBI director. And then you read that the morale in the Bureau is, you know, has hit rock bottom over his firing. I talked to seven different agents yesterday. They are ebullient that he was canned. They all thought he had politicized the agency, that he was not a by-the-book lawman, but too much politics. So I don't know where they get this stuff.
Well, how long is it going to take before we see them come up with anything? Because right now, all I've seen in terms of the Russian collusion case is Carter Page, who, you know, Lewandowski said he didn't know who he was. He's like a guy on a list of foreign policy experts who might have had a conversation with a Russian ambassador in Cleveland. And we have Manafort's business with Ukraine. And we have General Flynn's conversation on the phone with the Russian ambassador and in his paid speaking tour of Russia where he sits next to Vladimir. That's all I've seen. Am I missing something?
No, I think that's a very good rundown. So far, we don't have, never mind fire, we don't even have smoke. There's nothing here that would hold up in a court of law as a crime. I've thought for some time that the whole Russian collusion narrative was invented by John Podesta to distract attention from the fact that it's he and his brother Tony and Bill and Hillary who are profiting mightily from their associations with Putin. Big speaking fees in Russia for the Clintons, millions of dollars in fees for the Podesta brothers in the uranium deal and the banking deal and the gas deal. What better way to distract from all of that than accuse Trump of being in bed with the Russians?
And given the dossier, being in bed may be the telling image for that. But by the way,
the dossier is troubling in itself. Look, I have known Donald Trump for almost 40 years, 39 years. The idea of him going to a hotel room in Moscow and watching a bunch of prostitutes urinate on a bed, zero chance. Zero. Zero. Way too paranoid, frankly. I can't even tell you how many times he told me, always assume you're being taped or you're being filmed. Conduct yourself properly. Always assume that somebody's watching you. He would never do something like that. And we now know that dossier is a fraud.
And wasn't Comey putting that out there as a piece of evidence that people should consider? It's one of the many stories that we've seen circulate.
John McCain somehow passes this dossier on to the FBI and tells them they need to take it seriously. The dossier, by the way, is full of misspellings. So if 007 wants to be taken seriously, he needs to learn how to spell. This guy, Steele, who produced it, is a shady character. I think this, frankly, was Paul Singer, the hedge fund director, manager, billionaire, neocon, who was adamantly anti-Trump. It really pretty much traces back to him and his people. But the fact that it was taken seriously is quite extraordinary.
Well, ultimately, if there's nothing there, then it goes away. But it's still below the surface. Also, before we go to the break, and I want to ask you about your documentary coming up and also the Watergate comparison, which you made on that show. And that is that the Billy Bush video, that was in the archives of NBC. That was NBC property. And so it got into the Washington Post. So nobody really goes after the story of who gave that to the Washington Post as we talk about leaks in this whole saga.
Well, that seems to be a recurring theme. In other words, in an effort to distract from the content of the Democratic National Committee material that was hacked and published by WikiLeaks, they want to debate where it came from. If it's accurate, if it's true, and it is, nothing WikiLeaks has ever published has been challenged as fraudulent or counterfeit or forged.
And Donna Brazile can't claim, yeah.
You know, then it's an effort to distract from the content. The sad truth is, Mitch, they stopped the count in Iowa because if they kept counting, Bernie Sanders would have won the Iowa caucuses, and that would have been the end of Hillary's candidacy.
That's a major story, a major story. And, of course, I think Cruz with the bogus story about Ben Carson leaving was also very significant caucus night, having been a former caucus worker for Uri Hart.
Yeah, that Ted Cruz is a real dirty trickster, you know.
But an amateur. He's an amateur. We'll come back because I want to ask you about that if I can. Roger Stone, a friend of Trump, maybe should talk to Sean and Jared and some of the others about messaging the last 48 hours. We'll come back. This is the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to The Mitch Hanks Show.
Our guest is Roger Stone, former Nixon aide and a friend of Donald Trump and longtime advisor, actually, of Donald Trump, and has written several books, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, The Bush Crime Family, The Clinton's War on Women, and, of course, the book on the campaign of 2016. Give me the title on that again, Roger.
Yes, The Making of the President, 2016, evocative of the famous Theodore H. White.
Theodore H. White, yeah. Who, by the way, the guy who played him in the Jackie film was very kind to Theodore H. White, I must say.
I knew Teddy White. I met him when I was a cub working for Ronald Reagan in the 76 campaign, and he invited me to his brownstone on the Upper East Side for dinner to talk politics. It was delightful. He drank dinner. I ate dinner.
Yes.
And he was a very charming guy. Great writer.
Oh, I read most of his books. I think it was interesting. He said the two people he thought who didn't cheat on their wives were Humphrey and Nixon. I don't know if you ever read that.
Well, he was wrong on Nixon, but what the hell.
Well, see, there you go. He thought he was a good judge of character.
Teddy also, he couldn't understand why the Nixon people didn't like him in 1960, and I said, well, Teddy, the fact that you were wearing a Kennedy button on their plane probably turned
dead giveaway. That's a dead giveaway. All right, getting back to the current, tell me about the Netflix documentary.
Well, I saw it for the first time. It's really powerful. I would say it's neither a love letter nor a hit job. It's kind of right down the middle, but it's a pretty good, fairly accurate depiction of my career as a bomb thrower, in the ramparts of American politics. And my politics have evolved. I came from being a, hardcore right-wing Barry Goldwater Republican to being more of a libertarian, more of a Rand Paul in terms of philosophy, or I should say Ron Paul. Not quite as isolationist as that, but I'm anti-war. I'm pro-drug law reform. I've always been for gay marriage, so I guess I'm a libertarian because I'm also for low taxes, less spending, less government regulation, less government interference in our private lives. It kind of traces that arc. Plus, I'm one of the fathers of our modern super PAC system. It takes us through multiple 9 different presidential campaigns, Reagan, Nixon, Trump. Not in that order, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth seeing, let me say that. I make not a penny off of this, just to be very clear.
And why is that?
Well, the way this started was 3 college students approached me 5 years ago saying they wanted to make a documentary. I said, okay, boys, how much money do you have? They said, none. So what do you think it's going to cost? They said, we think we can make it for, you know, $125,000. Well, where are you going to get that? Well, we'll raise it. So I agreed to cooperate. We began filming. They would raise 25 grand. We'd do some intense filming, and then they'd disappear for 6 months. They'd raise a little more, and they'd come back. And this went on for 5 years. But during that time, they scored interviews with Senator Arlen Specter, Governor Tom Kaine, Donald J. Trump, the porn actress and pal of mine, Nina Hartley. I mean, I've got a diverse group of friends.
This is an intriguing reference.
Some of which ended up on the cutting room floor. But then along comes Netflix, buys the documentary from them for more than $1 million. And now we have Get Me Roger Stone on Netflix today.
Well, hopefully it'll have a residual impact, perhaps. Is that the way you would see it?
Well, it certainly helps me sell my books, and it helps me get on the Mitch Henk show, so it's not a bad thing.
There you have it. Now, compare, and it's called Get Me Roger Stone, right?
Correct.
All right, I can't wait. It's on Netflix now?
It's on Netflix today. Yeah, that line is based off a line in the HBO movie Recount. There's a movie in which the character actor, whose name escapes me, Tom, he's playing James A. Baker III running the Bush Recount.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, I want our demonstrators in Palm Beach, Miami, and Fort Lauderdale. And he turns to his secretary and says, get me Roger Stone.
There you go. And that history, your reputation as a dirty trickster, you would say what about that?
One man's dirty trick is another man's civic participation.
I see.
I mean, you know, look, they've hung this on me. It's going to be the first line in my New York Times obit. I would just say this. You can call me a dirty trickster, but there's one trick that is not in my bag. Treason. The idea that I would betray the United States for the Russians when I got into politics because of my anti-communist beliefs and Barry Goldwater being anti-communist, Reagan being anti-communist, it's insulting. I got a lot of liberal friends. I think they're misguided in their policies, but they're not traitors to the United States.
Right, we
just have different views.
Well, you work with Dick Tuck at all? Because he was on the other side, I know, back in the day.
Yeah, I met him once. He was a clever guy. You know, the most famous Tuck story, of course, being when Nixon was running for governor, he was dogged by the story that Howard Hughes had given Nixon's brother a multi-million-dollar loan and that Nixon's brother had passed it on to him. It had never really been proven. Nixon was speaking in Chinatown in San Francisco, and there was a huge banner hung by Tuck in Chinese that said, hey, Nixon, what about the loan?
I see. Well,
Nixon speaking under the sign had no idea.
I have this image of you and Tuck having a coffee somewhere away from the main line, just kind of like warning each other. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time there. Now, the Watergate comparison, you had said at the point on today's show, this point in time, back in the spring of 73, we were well into it. You know, it was a full-fledged...
Yeah, it's really apples and oranges. Nixon discharges Archibald Cox, fires him, which of course makes him a cocksucker. He himself is under investigation, and they're heading off an attempt to get the tapes. The tapes are, which Nixon has foolishly made and kept, are the point of that. In this case, Trump is not under investigation, and Comey was out of control. He was no longer accountable to the executive, to the Congress. He was deciding what he would investigate and what he wouldn't. He was deciding what crime.
And when you say that, you're talking about Hillary and the emails, right?
Yes. I mean, look, yeah. we are pursuing a Russian collusion narrative, which you ran down earlier. There's no proof of. Yet the proof of corruption at the Clinton Foundation is there for all to see. I'm not a lawyer, and I could get an indictment from a grand jury.
Are we going to see that pursuit by the new guy or new woman?
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, really, that's not really even supposed to be the FBI director's call. It's supposed to be the
AG.
General's call.
Well, that would be Rosenstein because Sessions pulled himself out, so we'll see how that goes.
I don't know that Sessions is recused on matters pertaining to the Clinton.
Oh, Hillary, yeah. Well, there you have it. I mean, that would be something to see Hillary standing there, facing an orange jumpsuit. I mean, that would really send Morning Joe into you know,
well,
hyperbolic.
You can get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt, 2017 t-shirts at stonecoldtruth.com.
I'm sure you can. By the way, are you going to be on Morning Joe's show in the near future? Because
I don't think so. Once I expose the fact that Jared Kushner was texting anti-Steve Bannon stuff to Morning Joe and Joe was putting it up, I don't think, I've never been invited there. I don't think I'll be invited. But I am doing The View, and I'm going to walk out the door as soon as we hang up and get to that taping.
Well, you're back on CNN, too. I was happy to see
The so-called ban on Roger Stone at MSNBC and CNN has clearly been broken.
And we're going to see you testify? You think you'll testify on TV at the House or Senate?
I sure hope so. I'm trying to figure out what to wear right now.
Roger Stone, thestonecoldtruth.com. A lot of great books. We hope they release the JFK files. We could talk about it for hours. And we thank you very much. Good luck with The View.
Many thanks, Mitch.